This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Well, a couple minutes ago, we were talking about what's next for Cleveland, and you know something? There's somebody who knows, and that would be Art Schell, who understands the difficulties Greg Williams faces, taking over as the Browns' interim head coach for the rest of the season, mostly because he faced the same hard road in 1989. Now, that was the season Hall of Fame tackle replaced Mike Shanahan with the Los Angeles Raiders, who were struggling at 1-3. Now, they hadn't had a winning season in 4 years, and the team was in, well, frankly, rebellion at Mike Shanahan's methods. But Art settled the ship, becoming one of the few interim coaches to produce both short and long-term coaching success. The first African-American head coach in the NFL since Fritz Pollard in 1925. Art went 7-5 that season, and a year later, you know what? He led the Raiders to a 12-4 record in the AFC title game. In 6 years as Raiders head coach, he was 54-38 and led three of the five teams he coached in complete seasons to the playoffs. But the man who hired him, that would be Al Davis, fired him after the Raiders went 9-7 in 1994. And Oakland didn't have a winning record again for 6 years, with Al Davis later saying that firing was one of the biggest mistakes of his life. Well, we make no such mistakes here. We brought Art Schell back to the Talk of Fame Network today to talk about what Greg Williams is facing today. And Art, thanks so much for rejoining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Art, I believe, if I remember right, you were watching Nightline when Al Davis called to tell you he was thinking about naming you as Shanahan's replacement. Then I think he told you to think about it and get some sleep. So how much sleep did you get? Did you get a lot of sleep that night?
No sleep at all. As soon as we got through talking, I told my wife, he just said get some sleep and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Hell, I can't do that. So I just went to work right away, thinking about what I was going to say to the players, and then started coming up with practice plans, how we were going to practice and how we were going to approach the game.
The next day, you became not only the head coach of a 1-3 team, but the first African-American head coach in 65 years since Fritz Pollard, as Clark mentioned. How much did that weigh on your mind? I mean, obviously you're worried about the team and winning games, but how much did the sort of historical part of it weigh on your mind?
Well, the historical part, it was big, but it wasn't as big as you might think, because I knew the owner of the team and I knew the organization. And I knew that if you work hard and prepared, opportunities will present themselves with the Raider organization. That's the way Al Davis was. I mean, he said to me, well, the day of the press conference, he said, and look, you need to understand, I guess some people say you hired him because he was black. He said, I'm not hiring you because you're black. I'm hiring you because you're a Raider and you know this organization. So there was no problem. It was huge. It became huge to me after the press conference when I had a meeting with the staff. I explained to them, I knew all of them, but I explained to them what I was looking for and what we needed to do in order to get better, make the team better. And I remember saying, you know, and I knew that there were some guys that might not want to be involved with the black head coach. You know, that crossed my mind. All these things crossed my mind, so I just said in staff meeting, I said, look, anybody that has a problem with working for a black coach, working for me, you know where the office is, come sit down, we'll talk, and then if you want to leave, then we'll make that happen. So that was important for me to do that. And then I remember sitting down with Terry Rubisky, who was talking about the next day's plan and what I wanted to do. And I said to Terry, I said, what we have to do here, we have to be successful. I need to be successful not only for the Raiders, but for upcoming coaches that are minorities. And if I can have some semblance of success, then that should open the door a little bit wider for others to be hired in the same position that I am, that I'm in. So that's how it all got started. And then the next day, of course, now I got to meet with the players. A lot of the players I already knew, of course, and I knew a lot of them well. And I talked to them about the practice plan, how some things were going to change at that point in time. You know, they were, when I was playing, you know, players sat on their helmets. But when Mike was the head coach, you couldn't sit on your helmet. all these things kind of rankled the ranks. It was a small thing. Maybe it was big for Mike, but it wasn't big for me because I'd been through it. And so, oh, they cheered when I said that because most of them, a lot of them had been there. And then I talked to them about what I was expecting of them and what they can expect from me. I say being on time for things is very, very important to me, and I stress that. I said, if I'm in the meeting room 5 minutes before time, and you come in, then you're late. And they looked at me. I said, that's just the way it is. I said, when I was a player, I never recall being in the meeting room no later than 15 minutes before time to meet. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it was. I wanted to be there on time and prepared to go to work, and I expect you guys to do the same thing. And then I told them, I kind of talked about the history of the Raiders, how we got to where we were, the time put in by the players before me, how hard we worked to create a winning situation here with the organization under Al Davis and John Madden, Tom Flores. You know, all great guys, all great coaches. But the one thing was important. They were all Raiders. They were the Raider family. And I talked about past players. I remember talking about Jack Tatum, George Atkinson. I said, we used to have a defensive backfield. We call it Soul Patrol. They were like little mini mouse, creating all kinds of problems, always getting after the big guys, always chasing. So they'd chase one of our running backs during practice, and then Clarence Davis would say, hey, man, they're getting after me. So then the next play, on a running play, we're down the field trying to chase them. They're running all over the field, off the field, so we wouldn't catch them. So those little things. And about winning, what it took to win. I remember telling them about playing in the Super Bowl, what it was like finally getting there, and how you want to do it all over again. You want to be in that doggone, the biggest game in professional football. So any coach that's going into a situation like Greg, he already knows a lot of the players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And he has an idea of, I hope he does, of what to do and how to go about doing it, how to pull strings here and there. I told Howie Long, I pulled him aside and said, look here, there are times I'm going to ride your butt like you don't know what. I said, if you make a mistake, and you might not make a mistake, I'm going to chew you out anyway. Because he was the light, you know, the shining light up top.
Sure.
And guys respected him. So I said, you need to understand it. I'm going to get in you, even when you don't do anything wrong. There are times I'm going to jump your behind in practice. And he understood where I was coming from. So it's not a hard job. It is not an easy job. You just got to go on there with a plan. And you got to let the players know where you stand and how you're going to approach each situation, each game. Your office is always open for a player to come and talk. If you got a problem, come and talk to me. Don't let nothing fester. Let's talk about it. Let's see can we resolve it. If we can't resolve it, then we'll come up with an answer some kind of way so it'll work for both sides. I'm here to win. I want to win. You want to win. So let's all get on the same page. And I told them what we were going to do in practice. They were excited about that. And every day I came in for the first week, they wanted a couple of players, hey, tell us some more Raider stories from the past. You know, I remember Marcus Allen vividly. He said, man, you started talking about those things. I got fired up and was ready to play that right then and there. You know, so that meant a lot to me because there was a lot of good history there. And they needed to understand about the people that came before them and how hard they had to work to get to the points in their life where they were successful playing the game of professional football with the Raiders. So, and the mystique about the Raiders, I said, there's no mystique. It's about winning. It's about being tough and physical. Penalties, we're going to get some. Sometimes we kind of push the rubber band a little bit, but we're always going to play up to where we can play, to the edge.
Now,
we're going to go up there, and we're going to play hard, tough, physical football. Let's try not to go over that line. So It was a good experience for me, and it was a good experience for the players I had the year. We had a chance to make the playoffs in the last up to the last game against Seattle, and Berline just threw the pass in the end zone a little too high. Else he catched that ball, Mervin catched that ball, and we're going into the playoffs. So we had a good run. It just didn't work out for us.
Now you mentioned, Art, that you had a problem or an issue you had to deal with the other coaches that obviously Greg Williams isn't going to have to deal with, and hopefully, fortunately, no one anymore has to deal with that issue of whether an assistant coach wants to work for a black head coach or not. But there is clearly some fractures in the Cleveland organization from what we're hearing, you know, splits between Hugh and Todd Haley, and, you know, spies on all sides. And
right.
Surely there's going to be guys loyal to Hugh, and there'll be guys maybe not in love with Greg. So
right.
how does he approach that when he goes into that first staff meeting with these guys?
He has to put it on the table. He has to put it on the table. And he has to explain to them where he wants to be and where he's headed. I know some of you may not like the idea that I'm the head coach, but management had decided that I'm the guy. And if you're going to work, I'm going to work with you, but I need you to work with me and also work for one goal, and that is to make this football team better. And that's why when I had my first meeting, I said, if there's anybody in this room that don't like what's going on, my office is down the hallway. We'll talk when we get you out of here. But we're all going to be on the same page because we're going for one goal, and that is to turn this thing around and get this team winning. And he has to approach that. He has to bring that out on the table at the beginning. You can't let it fester. You got to be blunt. You got to use some colorful language. You got to do that. But you got to put it out there, because if you don't, it's going to fester. And then you as the head coach got to watch every single situation. You got to pay attention to what's going on with your staff and make sure they're doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I remember it was one or two coaches that did not like some of the things we were doing on the football field. You know, with play. You know, they all got ideas about plays.
Sure.
But they would go complain to Terry Rubisky.
Sure.
So Terry said, "Hey, big guy, so and so. You know, they kind of don't like what we're doing here and there." I said, "Well, you know what, Terry? Tell them to come see me. I'm in the office down there." He said, "Well, I told him that. I told him, hey, that big black son of a bitch is down there in his office. You go ahead and see him. You know, don't come to me. Go see him." And he was right. You've got a problem, you come talk. Let's talk. And we can iron it out. I'm going to agree with you, I'm going to disagree with you. But at that time, I was willing to accommodate, but not accommodate to the point where I get away from the principal and the roadmap that I wanted to take him down.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Art, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for being our interim guest this week. We really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. You guys take care of yourself now.
Thanks, Art. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Art. That was former Raiders star player and star coach Art Schell. Up next, the 2-Minute Drill. You'll listen to the Talk of Fame Network.